Hi, guys. Here's my morning routine. First, I drink olive oil, like a lot of it. Yep, that's good. Then I stare at a red light. It's the kind that helps your cells positively glow. Oh, wow, really bright, okay. Next, I take an ice bath. That's how you melt your fat and fix your, I don't know, other stuff. Ooh, yep, feeling super healthy. Can't fit my toes. Breakfast is raw liver. Okay, here we go. Oh, real good.
If your health advice sounds strange coming from a kid, maybe it's just strange. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads, no fear, just your signal. Get $10 off select plans at cygnos.com. That's Cygnos.com with code SPARK. Cygnos.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
There's nothing more rewarding for an aspiring rapper than catching the attention and respect of the legends who came before you. It's easy to get caught up in the thrill and take the gamble signing to one of these artists who see your potential. But one Atlanta trap legend has taught many young rappers to always be cautious. Gucci Mane has owned several labels throughout the years, but his 1017 Records is stained by controversy, crime, and a couple of tragic losses. Regular, unexpected deaths among his crew have put Gucci in an unfortunate light. He recently announced the launch of a new label to shake the image, but it only resulted in responses like these. With regular unexpected deaths and every other artist facing major career setbacks, people have begun to ask if it's really a coincidence or if there's a darker truth in Gucci's corner. There's only a few spitters who have amassed the kind of influence that Gucci Mane has on Southern hip-hop. With an impressive discography and rappers like 21 Savage, Young Thug, and the Migos all stating him as a direct influence to their sound, his impact is undeniable.
From what I've heard, his A&R skills has basically put Atlanta on top.
100%.
They said his family tree is hip-hop at this point. So he's doing something right with his A&R skills.
Guwap has always been like a father to the subculture of hip-hop, but hasn't always been the mentor that he aspires to be today. You see, he's had run-ins with the law, but in 2017, he came out of prison a changed man. Since then, he's vowed to never return and was determined to become a positive role model. This translates into how he signs artists to 1017, preferring to take on those who have checkered pasts and might not get the same chance from another record label.
To be honest, you know, I was one of those type of artists. I was always going back and forth to jail, and I try to, you know what I'm saying, like, help those artists that I feel like, you know, I see a lot of myself in. If I'm not helping them, who else gonna help them?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Nobody says that part of the story.
Despite his good intentions, Gucci's new posse have repeatedly found themselves in jail or worse. And as guys like Pooh Shiesty have proven, you can take a rapper out the streets, but you can't always take the streets out of them. The head of Choppa Gang in Memphis, Pooh Shiesty, has had star power in his hands since the moment he had stepped onto the scene. And he was getting noticed by Guwap for his regional success at the perfect time.
Right before I got signed too, I was down bad, just out of jail.
Yeah.
Police took everything from me, so that's how it started. I just got locked, got right out, bonded right up.
Yeah.
It was a raid.
The opportunity that was before him was immense. So big that he almost didn't even believe it was real at the time.
Me in the bed, man, middle of the night, one day, he texts me on Instagram. Text him back, I say, "What's chopping?" He texts back right then and there, like he was on it. He waiting on me to text back. He was like, "I'm fucking with your mirrors, huh? Who you?"
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
you doing this shit with? I put my clothes on, shoot to Pop's house. Then my manager, I wake his ass. I said, wake up, bro, look. Right then and there, though, while I'm showing him, he texts back. He said, this is my number, FaceTime me. I FaceTime him right there. We was on FaceTime for like 6 hours.
Bushayzi has now had the means to live a better life, and he took the shot, quickly churning heads on label compilations before his mixtape debut made a huge splash. He even had everyone wearing his iconic Shiesty mask from yearbook pictures to the pool. I mean, this was an epidemic on its own. And even new rappers who have been popping out, like 4Bats, are still directly influenced by his style. But for him, his life was changing, especially after the success of Back in Blood with Lil Durk, which peaked at number 13 on the billboards.
But now, you know, them days is behind you now, because now you get to write and rap and tell stories about it and get paid for your verses now.
Exactly. And get to the point, Shite Man don't even rap no more. I just hold up everything I got to when I go to the studio, talk to the mic, man.
There you go. That's what you're supposed to be doing.
Unfortunately, this streak of good behavior meant nothing when an incident from 2020 and another from the year after crept back up on Mr. Shiesty and landed him back behind bars.
Now on just one station, surveillance cameras showing a new view of a violent shootout in a parking lot of a South Florida apartment building. The barrage of bullets sending two people to the hospital, and it lands a rapper in jail.
To preface this, it's important to remember that Lontrell Williams Jr., aka Pooh Shiesty, was born in Memphis, Tennessee, the same city that rappers like NLE Choppa, Young Dolph, Yo Gotti, and many more fellow rappers are from. Memphis is known to be one of the worst cities to live in America, with the murder rate increasing damn near every year that passes.
Today, Memphis City Council members were told the city's overall crime rate is down more than 6% from last year, but the murder rate is up by almost 25%.
Shiesty was specifically born and raised in the Cane Creek Apartments on the South Side, which is said to have a ton of poverty and violence. It's even said that at the age of just 11 years old, Pooh Shiesty was already no stranger to being locked up behind bars.
We seen some footage of you. You had a goddamn ankle bracelet on, an ankle monitor on, so obviously you was locked up, and you looked like you was about fucking 11.
Yep. I was 11.
Nigga, you made it out of South Memphis, man.
Not hard,
Crane
that
Creek.
Is?
You know how fucked up it is down there?
His dad was a well-known gang member and was literally a mob boss. I could really go on, but to sum it up, Shiesty had a tough upbringing. His time in the streets made it even harder for him to adjust to his new career and sudden fame, as he blew up almost overnight. So, just about a year after blowing up and signing with Gucci, it wasn't long before Shiesty would get caught up in some trouble with the law. The first major incident was a Florida shooting, where Pooh and his crew were exchanging expensive shoes and drugs with another clique in 2020. That is, before things quickly turned for the worse.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
And bullets flew back and forth, earning Pooh several charges, including armed robbery and battery, among others. And then, not even a year later, he let shots fly at an upscale nightclub after someone tried to rob him, which would have lost him $40,000, so can you really blame him? And according to academics, Pooh Shiesty only had it coming because his breakout track Back in Blood basically foretold what went down that night.
I haven't seen a song like this that is so prophetic, so self-incriminating, so self-snitching since Bobby Shmurda wrote up a goddamn indictment against him and his whole gang on his iPhone notepad and called it Hot Nigga, okay?
That track only landed him back in jail. If you read the lyrics to the song, it lists crime after crime after crime.
Bitch, I got my own, if I don't need security in the club, all they wolfing on the net, nigga, I thought you was a thug.
Not only did he actually have his own fire in the club, he wanted to let niggas know how much he didn't need security. He fucking shot the security. What the fuck? This new case, they're basically saying they caught Pooh Shiesty because he was posting and woofing on the net.
Thinking back, this was a huge fumble for him. What's insanely sad is when you consider just how much momentum he had prior to being locked up.
A close source of mine told me that when Pooh Shiesty was out of jail, he was making close to $200,000 a week.
We saw it.
$200,000 a week.
We saw it. If you was following
doing three or four shows. Three or four shows a week.
He was the hottest thing, homie. Why would he shoot a gun? And he the hottest nigga in the country. He shooting it himself. Not only that, he involved in robberies. What happened to the Lil Wayne blueprint? You take the protege and get him away.
Held without bond, he would soon be indicted in connection to the Florida incident and would plead guilty to federal conspiracy charges, receiving a 5-year sentence in prison. After there were concerns over his well-being when he was seen in an anti-self-harm vest in court, Shiesty has since made a statement on Instagram, reminding them that he's coming back for the crown. Although he was making big strides forward in the industry, Shiesty couldn't outrun his past deeds, and unfortunately for Guwap, he wasn't the only one on the roster with this kind of story. Repping a small town in Georgia, Fujiano's bars about street life are about as authentic as they come. He spent a good amount of time in prison, which is actually a place where he believes he was able to grow.
Prison made me man I am, bro. Like, it taught me patience. It taught me goddamn integrity. Everybody needs to tell me, like, you got something big coming for you, young. You just gotta wait. It's coming. I knew it was coming. I just ain't know it was gonna be Guwap.
He started his grind in 2017 with the Gutta Baby mixtape series, which is how Gucci became aware of Fujiano and signed him to a deal before they even actually met in person.
I know you guys met with a lot of labels, so why'd you choose to go with 1017?
Atlanta. See, I signed with Atlanta first.
Okay.
I was already agreed to sign with them when I
want to try a free sample?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait, time to consult the online experts.
You only eat after you're walking 10,000 steps.
Stop it.
They don't know your body. Only you do. Signos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. Get $10 off select plans at Signos.com. Signos.com with code SPARK. Signos.
But then I took probably 2 steps out of the door. I go to call. I seen where I had the number popped up. He said, man, I want you. Oh, you ain't gonna talk no more. Let's get this going.
And when he blessed the game with his debut album and a remix to the track Molly featuring DaBaby, he would be showered with praise, fans, and a platinum plaque to top it off.
Baby mama ain't shit. No. She won't let me see my son. Ho. But you fuck with him. Mama pop my gun. Pussy ain't no 101.
But history does repeat itself. And just as it happened with Pooh, Gucci Mane would have another label mate on trial for illegal gun possession, something Fuji would argue was necessary. He explained that where he was from, he had to protect himself from jealous haters who were on the prowl for rappers, and he wasn't an exception. Now, he was able to get off on bail for $50,000, but was forced to wear an ankle monitor and remain within Georgia lines. And that's when he made the greatest, most foolish mistake of his career. He was so focused on getting his bag that he took the risk of burning the tag, going on the run to continue performing, recording, and amplifying his career. He even said that he would ask crowds at his shows not to let the police get to him while he was performing. This man was really living life on the edge. Fuji managed to run around untouched for a few months before the authorities caught up with him in Memphis, where he would earn himself 5 years behind bars. Unfortunately for his label owner, Gucci Mane, and some of the other artists that he would go on to sign, this fate would become all too common. And Hoodrich Pablo Juan's career would experience a similar fate. Hoodrich Pablo Juan was around the game long before his 1017 record label worked out, spending time rhyming, and before that, getting other MCs what they were quote-unquote looking for the right price.
That's not me these days, so I'm not just acting like I'm a drug dealer, because I definitely don't sell drugs today. But back in the days, that was my way of trying to make it in a better position. If I'm around rappers who need weed and lean, and Molly or pills or whatever, then I would be a dummy not to try to get it and sit there and make some money rather than sit there and just be another body in the room.
When he would eventually ink his deal with Gucci, big tracks like We Don't Love Him and His Blow, the movie mixtape, had already cemented him into the game with a solid reputation for rhyming. And when Rico comes knocking, the success goes flocking. And Pablo found himself and 24 others getting sweeped by the feds for drug trafficking, murder, and other serious allegations. PJ took a plea deal, downgrading his sentence but still locking him up for 5 years, which left yet another stain on Gucci Mane's reputation despite splitting ways with the reckless Hoodrich of affiliate. Just when you thought these charges couldn't get any worse for Gucci, his short-lived stint with New Orleans' Young Mall left Guwap with a murderer on his roster. But it wasn't always looking so grim for their partnership, as Mall and his partner Quill had always dreamed of signing to Gucci Mane's label. Starting out with his rhyming partner Quill, Mall and his collaborator had one goal, and that was to sign with Guwap and chase their hip-hop dreams. After dropping a
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Song to literally grab the attention of the Atlanta legend, Mall went from sleeping on the floor to working with his idol in a matter of weeks.
I can remember my first time me and Quill had went around. He called us to a video shoot. It was Sway Lee and Jimmy, Young Dolph, Rollo, Pee Wee Longway, Guwap. And I'll never forget this day. This was like my first day not being broke. I had $30,000-$40,000 in my pocket.
But like many of these other artists under Gucci's leadership, Mall's momentum hit a major sudden roadblock when he got charged with murder and gang-related offenses following a gas station shootout. In a unique turn of events, Mall's charges would actually be dropped, and instead of continuing to work with Guwap, he would instead launch his own label called 1.5 and was determined to turn his life around.
What you think you was doing wrong?
I don't feel like I was doing nothing wrong, but just like I was making myself too accessible. That was one thing I know for sure. I had to like kind of like shake that off, shake want to be in the hood every day, shake want to be in people's face, going to clubs without getting paid. Once I shook that off, I was like, shit, I got to come a different way.
And despite this sharp turn in his career, Mall remains grateful for his time at 1017 and the lessons that his hero Gucci Mane was able to pass down to him.
Shout out to Guwap, appreciate everything he did and shit, you know what I'm saying? But I just feel like I was at a point where like I couldn't get baby by him my whole career anyway. So I feel like that would have breaking point, you know what I'm saying? When everything hit the fan, that was my time to step up and become my own CEO, you know what I'm saying?
An artist owned a label, especially one overseen by a hip-hop legend like Gucci Mane, seems like the type of product that is best served to foster young talent until they're ready to take the next step. In that light, Mall's decision made sense, but unfortunately for his label mates, they're still behind bars today, unable to make it to that level, and others at 1017 wouldn't even live to see that day. Big Scar was destined to be a rap star. His stage name comes from a tough, intriguing backstory, and he holds deep respect for the rappers who came before him, especially Gucci Mane. Entering the Guwap camp beside his cousin Pooh Shiesty, Scar would go on to catch the Atlanta legend's attention with the track Make a Play, which cost him an entire $20 to produce. The street hit summoned a call from Gucci, and his mentorship did a lot for him. For one, signing to Gucci helped Scar understand the importance of consistency and not letting anyone's opinion stop him from going up.
What's the most important thing you learned from fucking with Gucci?
Can't nobody stop what you doing. Like, one thing why I always told me, Scar, I'm never let this shit get to you, bro. Can't nobody stop what you do. You going crazy.
Unfortunately, the same year he signed his deal would happen to be the same year that a bullet would hit his hip and meet his spine, causing a serious injury. Despite his lengthy medical procedures required to correct it, Scar stayed active and kept working towards the release of his debut album, The Secret Weapon, and things were looking up. But his recovery wouldn't go as planned, as Scar passed from an accidental prescription overdose at the age of just 22 years old, far too soon for such a talented man. The news rocked the 1017 crew, Gucci included, but guys like Quez Ruthless were accusing Guwap of making empty promises to the-
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Family.
Disrespect the pop now by lying like you gonna pay for the funeral and knowing you wasn't because you went ghost the next day. Like, what was that? What you telling free lies for? Like, what?
Gucci's wife clapped back, pissed about his name getting dragged, by posting the receipt from the funeral home, showing that Gucci had paid $10,000 towards the services. Once that went down, Quez walked back what he said, but it seemed like he was more interested in trying to save his own career than apologizing.
Yeah, he sent the 10K like he ain't have to do that. He ain't have to do that. He did that in Atlanta, sent the other 10K. But you hear me? I ain't trying to blemish your image, bro. It's just my brother. I'm going in how you would go about your brother. I'm trying to take my rap career serious. I don't want nobody to get the blackball of me, none of that. You hear me? I don't want nobody to get the blackball of me. I'm finna drop my tape. Don't blackball me, bro. I don't want no smoke, bro.
The situation was best summed up by Boosie, who claimed that Scar's death just really hurt the people he was close with, causing them to act out of character.
When death hit, bro, man, shit hurt people. Shit hurt they miss him, bro. So a lot of things you don't be knowing about it before you speak on it. You speak out of anger, bro. You speak out of anger. I hate to see them young niggas like that go, bro, because he could have made a way for a lot of more people, bro. I know how I feel losing a big dog, so I be hurting for their family.
At 22 years old, Scar was able to leave a legacy in the game, and the same fate was met by another 1017 talent that saw him as a brother. R&B artist turned trap music queen, Enchanting, was the first artist that Dallas producer Jay White brought to Gucci's attention. And at first, she didn't even realize the magnitude of this opportunity.
You weren't rapping before you signed him. He signed you all off the singing.
Yeah.
Wow, that's so interesting.
I had out like 4 R&B projects. He had like a long conversation with me, like, was I ready to take my music to the next level and take it serious for real and, you know, really do this shit? And I was like, yeah, you know, I'm ready. And then he was like, okay, I'm gonna send y'all shit to some people. And then multiple people was interested, like other label tried to sign me at the same time as Gucci. And I was like, Lord, I was stressed. He told me that. Then he called me back like one day later. And he was like, yeah, how would you feel about like being signed to Gucci? Mm. And I was like, you know, that'd be crazy. You know, that'd be raw. I love Gucci.
Signed in 2020, Enchanting was steadily dropping music and even acknowledged the existence of the apparent curse in interviews. But to her, there is no such thing.
It's not Gucci's fault. He just,
right.
I feel like he be seeing himself in a lot of his artists, you know, and he genuinely fucks with them. So it's like he be wanting to give them a chance, you know, even though odds be against them, you know?
What nobody could have suspected at the time was that behind the scenes, Enchanting was waging a war with her drug addiction that would go on to claim her life. Speaking after her passing, a representative from her team said that she came to my house the last 4 days to get clean. She tried her best and I did everything I could to help her.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Tried. Once again, as the news of the death broke, people were already discussing the curse, with some people even suggesting on Gucci's tribute post to the deceased artist that he was sacrificing them. And again, it was down to Guwap's wife to defend him. Left to mourn another loss, Guwap has had an incredible run of bad luck in recent years with his signees. So that leaves us with the question, what's the solution and does one even exist? It would be insensitive and downright absurd to imply that any sort of sacrificial voodoo BS is going on here. And as Vlad and Boosie once again explained, it has nothing to do with Gucci. And if anything, he actually helped these artists more than he hurt them.
Gucci really got a lot of his artists, you know, locked up right now. I mean, I'm not saying that he got his artists locked up, but a lot of the artists that he signed Gucci didn't do nothing. Like, Gucci gave them all opportunities, but...
However, one thing we should ponder on is if Gucci is putting them in a position to make poor choices, giving them too much too quickly, and allowing them to destroy themselves. Unfortunately for a lot of these artists, there is no period of learning or rehabilitation before they are met with the intensity of fame. In the eyes of Joe Budden, this is where Guwap is failing these young talents, robbing them of meaningful careers and sometimes even their lives.
Who people are signing, how people are signing them, and why people are signing them needs to be under thorough examination from, I think, all parties involved in the music business. So when I say Gucci Mane's scouting needs to be under examination, it's because this is now, what, 8, 9, 10, I don't know, but a whole roster that is just suffering from the Different Strokes curse, and I don't think it's coincidence anymore.
After Budden's comment, Guwap fired back and said that he knew what it was like to be where these artists are, and for him, it was important to provide a space for them to succeed.
I'm not trying to sign the guys who don't
don't need no help. I'm signing the guys who don't nobody want to sign. Who saying like, oh, you know, you got a criminal record. We're going to stay away from you. Them the guys I'm giving a chance. And if they would have ran my background and my criminal shit, I wouldn't have had no deal. You feel what I'm saying? So my whole thing is I want to help. This is my way of giving back. I always want to give back. I'm telling them to not get in trouble. I'm not signing them and saying it's cool. I'm trying to be the example to say, look what I'm doing. See how I'm taking all this stuff serious and being professional. You know, I'm leading by example.
Addiction is a serious issue that labels should be mindful of for young artists who are vulnerable to getting hooked. But it's hard to blame Gucci specifically for what goes on in the streets. And the fact of the matter is, there's only so much he can do to keep them out of a lifestyle that he's recently found them closely tied to. A curse that's much bigger than goo-wop and hip-hop. With his unfortunate track record, it'll be interesting to see how Gucci switches things up with the recent announcement of his new So Icy label, where he's already offering up huge money deals.
Nowhere, you got the Trump gun right here. All these $100,000 a pop. So look, $100,000, $200,000, $300,000.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
$400,000, $500,000, $600,000, $700,000, $800,000, $900,000. That's 1 million right there. That's what I'm willing to invest in my next superstar because I'm starting a whole new label, fresh, So Icy Millionaires. So who want to join my new label because I'm looking for my next male superstar? So I got a million for my next female superstar. I got a million for my next male superstar. Who want to join the So Icy Millionaires? Hit my DM right now.
With responses from fans claiming that whoever signs is basically digging their own grave, it's clear that many people are aware of the scary ongoing trend with Gucci's artists. One user wrote, Death Note Records, while another claimed that Gucci is better off scamming fans with an NFT project at this point. Let's just hope that he isn't discouraged from trying to help people out of bad situations, because aside from what went wrong at 1017, the mission behind Gucci's moves was nothing but admirable.